Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Carmanah Technology Corporation second quarter 2017 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. Before beginning its formal remarks, Carmanah would like to remind listeners that certain portions of today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in these forward-looking statements. For more information on the forward-looking statements and the company's risks and uncertainties relating to such forward-looking statements, please read Carmanah's annual reports as filed on SEDAR, and which is also posted on their website, www.carmanah.com. All currency amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars with the exception of the company's TSX listed share price, which is quoted in Canadian dollars. The company's financial statements are prepared in accordance with IFRS or International Financial Reporting Standards. During this call, the company may also refer to adjusted EBITDA, and non-IFRS financial measure, which is calculated as earnings before interest, income taxes, amortization, stock-based compensation, and various one-time charges, which are detailed in the publicly filed management discussion and analysis. Carmanah uses this metric internally in addition to others to make strategic decisions and evaluate their performance. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for an operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Thursday, August 10, 2017, at 6 a.m. Pacific Time and 9 a.m. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Mr. John Simmons, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, operator. Good morning, everyone. As the operator said, I'm John Simmons, and I'm joined on this call by Evan Brown, our Chief Financial Officer. Last night, after the close of market, we released our second quarter results, which are now on SEDAR. As is our practice in these calls, Evan and I will make a few opening comments and then open the floor for questions from the analysts and shareholders. So let's start with a financial review of the quarter, Evan.
Thank you, John, and good morning to everyone on the call. As the operator mentioned, we do report in U.S. dollars, and all references to amounts on this call and our published financial reports, unless otherwise stated, are in U.S. dollars. In the second quarter, 2017, we generated consolidated revenues of $12.2 million, down 12% year-over-year. Our signals revenue was $11.2 million, up 5%. Our illumination revenue was $983,000, down 69%. Before I jump into specifics, as always, I'd like to remind everyone that we fully expect lumpiness in our revenues as they are largely project-based, with coinciding longer than normal sales cycles. I'd also like to stress that trying to extrapolate year-over-year or quarter-over-quarter trends is not a realistic metric given these expectations. I'd first like to briefly talk about the quarter two year-over-year overall decline in revenue, which was the result of lower illumination revenues. I'll remind everyone that we did have two large projects ship in the second quarter of 2016, which skew the overall year-over-year comparison. We do continue to be very optimistic about the illumination division and the launch of our new product offering, which began shipping in the quarter. The order backlog at the start of the quarter was $6.5 million. In the quarter, we booked $11.3 million and finished the quarter with a backlog of $6.6 million. Gross margin percentage in the second quarter was 42.7%, up 3.9% year-over-year. Operating expenses in the second quarter were down 1%. This decrease was the result of lower G&A spending in the quarter. Net income in the second quarter was $509,000, down from $934,000 year-over-year, primarily due to the decline in revenue. Adjusted EBITDA in the second quarter was $1.8 million, or 15% of revenue, which is down from $2.2 million, or 16% of revenue year-over-year. As of June 30th, our cash balance was $23 million, with term debt of $6 million. Subsequent to quarter end, we have arranged a new debt facility with CIBC, which includes a $15 million acquisition revolver line, which replaces our $10 million term debt, and as of July 31st, we repaid our term loan, which carried a $6 million balance. I think I'll leave it there, and we'll pass it back to you, John.
Okay, thanks, Evan. Before we open for questions, I have just a few comments. I'll start by saying that on the surface, not a great operating quarter for us. While our EBITDA is at an acceptable level as a percentage of sales, and gross margins are generally good, expenses are well under control, our overall sales in the quarter did not progress as we would have liked. As Evan said, our businesses are largely project-based, and often each of our verticals ebb and flow, and more often than not, these ebbs and flows balance each other out in any particular quarter. But from time to time, this can make for an unexpectedly low revenue quarter, and sometimes the opposite happens. Q2 was produced really unexpectedly low revenues, which is always a bit disappointing. However, I see no changes in either market or competition. To me, this comes down to periodic lumpiness that will even out over time. So I should also make some comments on strategy. Starting last October, we began describing our intentions to narrow and deepen our business activities to allow us to focus on strategic business growth. Those plans called for the divestiture of our power division businesses and reinvestment of the proceeds from these sales together with current surplus cash balances into our strategic signals and illumination segments. In fact, I think on our last analyst call, I described this as an important pivot for Carmanna, which was moving from planning to execution. Well, the pivot is underway. 9 days ago, we completed the divestiture of our power division assets, the second of two sale processes, pardon me, when we sold our GoPower-branded off-grid power business to Valterra Products. GoPower, while not a strategic fit for Carmanna, is a fast-growing and well-managed business, and I expect that I expect to thrive as part of Valterra. And I wish our former GoPower colleagues and all of Valterra well as these businesses integrate and move forward. And while we're sad to see our GoPower colleagues depart, we are equally excited to be welcoming a new team to the Carmanna fold. For on the same day that we closed the GoPower sale, we also closed the purchase of New Zealand-based Vega Industries. Vega is a clear strategic acquisition for Carmanna. For more than 40 years, Vega has been supplying vital marine aids to navigation products to customers around the world, often in direct competition with Carmanna and Savick Marine. In fact, just subsequent to the acquisition, the results of the Canadian Coast Guard standing order tenders were announced, which awarded a portion of the standing order contract to Carmanna and the balance to Vega. I'm sure there'll be questions about this, but for us, the acquisition of Vega gives our marine segment three things: broader distribution, important additions to our product offering, and the ability to consolidate overheads. Most importantly, it moves Carmanna through our wholly owned Savick Marine into a leading global provider of marine AtoNs. I looked at my notes from our Q1 call, and I'm reminded of both my comments and the analyst questions about our illumination segment. Illumination continues to be a work in progress, and in spite of low revenues, I'm satisfied with our progress. We have a brand new product line, which is now shipping, a new website, a recommitment to distribution through exclusive sales agents and certified contractors. We've set a goal to put 50 EverGen pilot projects in our prime U.S. markets this year, and as of this day, we have 14 such pilot projects committed for installation in the third quarter. This is going to take some time, frankly more time than I originally expected, but we remain fully committed to our illumination business and maintain that our addressable market in the U.S. will soon start to expand rapidly. As this happens, we expect the same rapid growth in illumination revenues. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. Operator, please open the queue for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from Ruben Shakira from GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Well, hi, John. Thanks for taking my question. You mentioned the I asked you this question last time too, in terms of the lumpiness in the elimination and the overall revenues, and you talked about trying to look at it outside of the quarterly basis. But what kind of a run rate do you think can we expect for this year and the next year, kind of thing?
Well.
If you can provide any color, that
isn't great. Going to be particularly comforting, but I don't think I can provide a run rate for this year. Clearly we expected to have more sales in our second quarter than we have. This was a particularly interesting quarter for us because we're in the middle of a transition from an old product line to a new product line, and I think that caused some distraction. This is well below our budget, which was, for the year in the kind of the $8 to $10 million range. So I'm not sure that I am confident enough to give you, any kind of run rate expectations on this business at this point in time. What I am confident in is over time, our addressable market for these products will expand. And as it does expand, if we stay in the game, we keep learning about the market, we will grow with that expanding addressable market. So I fully expect we'll get lots of questions about this sort of over time. It's just, to me, the fundamentals are all there, and we're just going to stick with it and enjoy the growth when it eventually happens.
Thanks. That's helpful. And in terms of, with the new product line, you mentioned the changes on the website and all that. Has your strategy in any way changed in terms of going after larger projects?
No. Not entirely. I guess one of the activities that we abandoned from a sales and marketing effort standpoint is pursuing sales in the developing world. We were having no success in certain developing world markets where we would spend a lot of time in procurement processes, and for reasons that aren't clear to us, these procurement processes would either suspend or stop, or we would see non-spec products being deployed. And I want to be careful as I say in making this comment, but Carmana is a highly ethical company that adhere to strict anti-corruption guidelines, and we have found it very difficult to find a flat or an even playing ground in some of these markets. So at this point in time, we're concentrating our efforts at the developed world, principally the United States.
Perfect, thanks. And in terms of the Hydro Ottawa Carmana Solar Power Corp, are you able to provide more visibility into the $3 million outstanding receivables on that? If anything.
Yeah, what I can tell you is that this is a contract dispute. This contract was terminated by Hydro Ottawa in a manner that we don't agree with. We don't think that Hydro Ottawa had the right to terminate the contract, that the amount of work remaining on the project was de minimis, and we were and remain fully committed to completing our obligations under that contract and making sure that Hydro Ottawa will properly earn the revenue it deserves from this project. But it has become a matter of a contract dispute, and now our legal team and our insurer are undertaking to effect a settlement. I can't predict what the cost or impact of that settlement might be at this point in time, nor can we predict when this matter will be resolved.
Great. And promise my last question, and moving to the financial side. In terms of the EBITDA and the CFO, sort of there's a disconnect a little bit this quarter. See sort of the working capital used there. Can you provide more insight into that?
Can you repeat the question, please?
The EBITDA and cash flow from operations, there seems to be a slight disconnect there with the positive EBITDA.
What's the variance between the two?
Yeah.
Evan, can you?
I mean, they don't necessarily always tie out perfectly. We do have, working capital changes in some of our longer cycled business lines like offshore wind, where we do have lumpiness in the working capital, and that's typically comes in the second half of the year. So I don't expect them to line up perfectly quarter over quarter. But when you look at it annualized, it typically trends itself out.
Great. That's really helpful, and those are the only questions I had. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mac Whale from Cormark. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. On the illumination project that was shipped with the unusual charge, what was the nature of the error that was made there?
This was a solar sizing error. So this was a project in Hawaii where our engineers specified a solar engine, in other words, the ability to produce power that that was in error, and as a result, the system was simply not sized large enough. Each individual system was not sized large enough to maintain battery power at levels to required to provide the required light levels.
Okay.
So it was simply an error. The mitigating factor, if there was one, is that we were using a different luminaire than is typical. And so this was a luminaire specified by a third party. And we erred in terms of the power draw or the load that luminaire was going to place on the system. So it's not a failing of a system. It's a failure to correctly specify solar sizing and load. Simply an error.
Okay.
We don't make many of them.
Right.
But when we do, they hurt, and it takes a while to recognize what goes on because, you know, with all of these systems, there are periodic battery failures that happen, and how this shows itself over a long period of time is, you know, all of a sudden there are more frequent battery failures starting to show up on this particular project, which created the investigation, the realization that we made an error, and that the only way to put this back on side was to rebuild these systems solar sized correctly.
Okay. Yeah, I've covered the company for a long time and hadn't seen that before. You guys, the execution's been so good. I was wondering whether it actually had to do with the new product launch in any way.
No. This goes back many years ago. I can't remember when this. This was a 4 or 5 year ago install, and so it goes back a long way. And over time, it was plagued with what looked like acceptable levels of warranty levels, but then they warranty type replacements. But then that started to scale up, and it's only at that time that we re-engineered it, took a look at what the actual load was that was coming from those luminaires, which again are luminaires we don't use every day, and then discovered our error, and we then got on the path to do the right thing.
Okay. And then, Evan, the adjustment in the EBITDA for that was only about half of the adjustment. What's the rest of it?
The rest of it is actually our move to Creation Technologies in Plano, Texas from Burnaby. So it's for this quarter, it's split about $200,000 each.
Okay. And then on the projects, it sounds like on the new illumination products, some good progress there. You had shipped one, and I was wondering, or you had shipped your first, and I'm wondering if you can give us some insight into those projects. Like, do they follow a particular pattern in terms of location or size, or can you talk maybe a revenue per project or maybe some sort of margin you've built in? Can you give us some various metrics that you're willing to share?
Sure. For competitive reasons, we may be a little bit coy, but I think I can give you enough color to be helpful. We are focusing our sales efforts into high-yield what we think are high-yield states in the United States. And so those would be, and I won't name them specifically, but these would be places where we can expect, our market research tells us there's going to be more new development than in other states. And there are also places that have sunnier climates, because the sunnier climates help us to build smaller systems and still meet required light levels. And I'll remind both you and everybody on the call that our mission with lighting is to use this advancing technology to keep bringing costs down on these systems so that we can compete on a capital cost basis with traditional incumbent grid-tied systems. And so we are focusing on those markets where we have our best chance to do so. And it's, I will say, a small number of states in the United States that are getting our attention, and I won't name the states. Our plan for this year is to reestablish relationships with lighting agents that are resident in those states and in adjacent states. And the job of those agents will be to work with end users to help them define projects, to have them spec'd. Of course, we always prefer our specifications to be used in that spec setting exercise. And we're also building a program and a network of certified SOL contractors, and those contractors will be specifically trained in the installation and maintenance of our products. And we're hoping in the spec setting exercise that we'll go through that the specs will also contain language that these projects will be installed only by SOL certified installers. So that's basically our plan. In executing that this year, we've set a goal to put 50 pilot projects in this described but undefined market area. And I said in my earlier comments that we have 14 of those pilots in place now. These are all paid projects. So in other words, these are customers who are actually paying for these systems, and they vary from one or two systems up to 10 or 15 systems at a time. And I would think of them this way. Often it's a municipal or a parks and rec or some other kind of civic or state customer that is intrigued, likes the sound of what we're talking about from a new product feature standpoint, and is impressed enough to spend a small amount of money to get started with a sample installation so that they can live with these products in their marketplace for a period of time and judge their performance.
Okay. When you look at where you're actually getting those demand for those pilots, is that matching, or at least your pipeline is developing, or funnel, if you want to call it that, is it matching what your research led you to believe, or are you learning? Have things changed, positive or negative? Do you understand my question?
Perfect match to our research. So our research.
Okay.
So I think if you go back 2 years, we lived with intuition about what we had gained around this from being around this marketplace. We wanted to verify our intuition, so we commissioned external market research that verified our intuitions as being accurate. And now our market experience as we move forward is further corroboration of both our intuition and the confirming market research.
Okay. And then my last question on that, I was wondering what role your suppliers, like your Luminaire supplier, or their networks, their distribution, like if there's a role there for them in generating leads on projects?
That would be very nice. And certainly we would welcome that, but we do not have a standing program with them. Our Luminaire partner is very busy with its own business, that in the street lighting business is focused on retrofitting grid-tied older technology with LED luminaires, and so they have a very busy environment and frankly aren't spending much time worrying about us.
Okay. Those are all my questions. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mac.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ravid Abdul from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of questions. In terms of G&A, how do you see that number changing in the second half of the year following the divestiture of the power division? Are there any more changes to be expected?
Well, that's a good question, Reveal. Good morning. When we divided, when we made the decision to divest these businesses, we began to account for a... We bifurcated the accounting into a continuing operations and a discontinued operations piece, and we looked at all of the shared services, and we properly estimated what of those shared services should be attributed to the discontinued ops, and what portion should be attributed to the continuing operations. And as we have now separated out our GoPower assets with the sale to Valterra, and this is all headcount, that headcount has been precisely accurate with how we accounted for it. So on the surface, no additional changes. That said, we are constantly looking at at overheads and looking for efficiency. And I think that we would expect to be able to maintain or still have some improvements in G&A costs, which should hopefully allow us to get a little more operating leverage as we move forward.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you for that. And then just a broader macro question in terms of, you know, the move towards cost parity with traditional systems. Where are we now, or is there a way to speak about where we are now versus maybe a year ago in terms of the cost of your product?
Yeah, boy, it's a tough question. It's a tough question because there isn't a simple answer to it. I can give you an endpoint. You know, the simplest solar light is one that has a single solar panel and a single battery. And for a system sized with a single solar panel, a single battery to provide acceptable levels of light for all of the continental United States, given the varying sunshine rates that exist across the continent, requires LED efficiencies to be in and about the 250 lumens per watt range. The current fixtures that luminaires that we incorporate in our products are in the 140 to 150 lumens per watt range. And I think it's likely to take 3 to 4 years until the technology advances to that point that the entire United States is an addressable market where we can fairly compete on price on a cost parity basis. Where we are at this point in time is a little mixed. And it depends a little bit on the size and shape of the application and where it is. And I'll just give you a simple example. If we were looking at doing, a small parking lot in California that is at a fair distance away from underground electrical services, we've probably already crossed that parity line and the cost favors us. If, on the other hand, we're talking about doing a very large parking lot that's very close to, electrical utilities in another state like Texas, we probably aren't at parity yet. So it varies quite a lot based on, at this point in time, on the nature of the application and its specific properties and adjacencies.
Perfect.
So it's messy, and it's going to be messy for a while, but ultimately it will become simple and it will become ubiquitous.
Understood. Thank you for that. And just finally, you know, what are some of the factors that are leading to higher confidence in a much more busier second half of the year? That's it for me.
We're always confident. Reveal.
you're expecting second half to be busier compared to first half of this year. And I was wondering whether it's visibility on some projects that you have that's giving you increasing confidence that second half will be would be stronger than first half. I'm just trying to better understand that.
Well, Reveal, you've said we're going to be busier in the second half of this year. I don't know that we have said that necessarily, but I will tell you that our quote activity is pretty good right now, especially on our signal side, we feel that this is quite a stable and predictable business. We're happy to have won Canadian Coast Guard standing order procurement together with our, with Vega, our recent acquisition. And, you know, I think that that should give us a little bit of a bump in revenue. So we have some acquired revenues, obviously, that will be coming in as well. You know, I think we are forever optimistic, and, you know, the sales and marketing processes that we're following are, I think, particularly sound, and, you know, and I think good things will happen if we continue to follow good processes.
Great, guys. That's all for me. Thank you for taking my question.
Pleasure.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. We have no further questions. I will now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Simmons.
Thanks, operator. I have no further comments to make. Of course, we will always welcome questions. We don't need to rely on these quarterly calls. And if anyone on the call has questions about what we're doing, we're always happy to try to answer those questions for you, and invite you to call us or contact us through our website. Thanks very much, operator. We'll sign off now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call for today. If you have any further questions, please call our Carmana Investor toll-free number at 1-877-722-8877. Thank you for your participation. Please disconnect.